Welcome to this episode of the Strong Kind Podcast. This episode is with Matthew Jones. Matthew is a very good Olympic weightlifter. He's a national champion Olympic weightlifter. He's an IPF world champion powerlifter. He's a really strong dude, very kind dude. We had a great conversation. We talked about coming back from injury, strength programming, the mental side of strength and performance, and just being a human. It was awesome to talk to Matthew. You can find him at Champion Matthew Jones on Instagram, or you can go to his website, which is MatthewJonesPerformance.com. Had a fun conversation with Matthew, and I hope you enjoy it as well. Thanks for being here. Yeah, we were mentioning, like, we followed each other for a hot minute. I want to say this in, like, the nicest way possible. Like, you're an interesting guy. Well, also, like, dude, I love lifting, and I love like strength sports, and, like, I think you kind of have to be a psychopath to be as into it as, like, you are, and maybe I am. You're definitely, like, really good at it, and I'm not. So maybe I'm the bigger psychopath. I'm getting better.
You know what? I always hate when people say they're bad at something. You just need practice or not good. You just need practice. That's all it is. Just need more time, need more work.
Yeah. Well, so, cause I kind of want, I mean, I'm a big believer. I'm like a self-deprecator, despite the fact that I'm like super optimistic. Right. But your attitude, and your positivity is really powerful. And, what got you into strength training? I want to start there.
Yeah. So I was a wrestler since I was four.
Okay. Damn. See, this is, I wanted to wrestle. That's like my only regret is, like, wrestling is powerful. Yeah.
Wrestling will absolutely change your life. Like, it is just such a tough, like, there's a saying, like, once you wrestle, everything else in life is easy.
Yeah.
And it's 100% true. Like, nothing will compare to the hell I went through during wrestling practice.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically since I was four, I was a wrestler, and, you know, that kind of just bred an interest in strength too. You know, we did, you know, rope, we were doing rope, you know, like when I was little, I remember, like, the bigger kids doing rope climbs. Like, that was the coolest thing. Like, seeing, like, my dad did a legless rope climb.
Yeah.
Like, after practice at, like, 55 years old or whatever it was back then. So,
yeah.
You know, I always was just fascinated by strength, and, you know, starting probably like fifth and sixth grade, you know, well, throughout wrestling, you know, we always did push-ups, pull-ups. Like, I was going to this practice. Our coach was, like, a former, like, Marine. And so we would have to, do you know what 6 inches is?
Yeah.
So we would do, like, 6 inches until we cried. Like, literally, like, we'd be crying, like, on the mat, but nobody could put their legs down because we'd have to start over.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'd always did, like, calisthenics type stuff. And then fifth, sixth grade, I just got more interested in it. And so, you know, my dad kind of just, you know, would encourage it. And so I started doing push-ups and pull-ups. And then what we would do is, he'd put weight on my back. I wasn't allowed to, like, lift weights yet, but he'd put weight on my back with push-ups, and I'd do as many push-ups as I could. And then he'd take the weight off, and I'd do more push-ups, as many as I could. And then I'd do pull-ups the same, because I just, you know, I love getting strong and wanted to get strong for wrestling. But also, I think it was just fun in itself to, like, look at my body and be like, shit, like, I'm gaining, you know, I got some biceps now. So
yeah. I live in Iowa City, Iowa, right? So this is, like, the mecca of wrestling. Where are you from?
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, so you're in Ohio, so, like, also, like, I mean, wrestling communities there, right? Like, I was telling, I had Jim Windler on my podcast earlier this week, and I was like, which is a, like, holy shit, for me anyway, because I love Jim Windler, right? But I was talking about how I was doing jiu-jitsu, and there's a gym nearby, and, like, I was just getting my ass handed to me by, like, 130-pound dudes who've wrestled, right? And, like, it's such a confidence-building sport, and I think you're right. It lends itself to, when you pursue difficulty, life gets easier, right? And I think that's, like, that's super powerful, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, man. That's so cool you had Jim Wendler on the podcast.
Dude, he's a cool dude. I was like, I'm intimidated. Like, you know how you're just kind of intimidated by people, but he's such a humble, nice dude. And he's just been, you know, I was reading T-Nation articles, you know, 15 years ago that were by him, right? Well, all right. So I do want to just touch on this, because, like, you fractured your tibia, correct? Oh, no, you fractured your fibula.
So
Tell me about
I
and how it's going.
so I at Nationals this year. All right,
Yeah.
so I had one. So I was in the U25 for
Okay.
96 kilos, and so I won the snatch on my second attempt. So my third attempt was really just to like further my lead for the total.
Yeah.
And basically, I caught the snatch like in the bottom position, and I felt a pop. And so I dislocated. There's different opinions on what the injury actually was, because like dislocating your fibula is actually supposed to be like really rare,
Yeah.
but they did do like reductions in the field on the fibula. Like it was
Okay.
like it's still a little like it definitely is more pronounced than the other
Yeah.
one.
Okay.
So they say like I dislocated my fibula, I tore some cartilage, and then I also had like a minor hamstring tear as
Okay.
well on that tendon. It's going well. I mean, the cartilage, I think, the hamstring's getting a ton better. The fibula does not hurt anymore, really. Like that feels more secure. The cartilage, it's a tricky situation, right? Because cartilage, there's not a lot of blood flow to the area,
Yeah.
but it's getting better. Like, I literally, like after the injury, I couldn't even do a body weight squat, couldn't do a split squat. So, I'm just kind of focused on doing things I couldn't do before.
Yeah.
And if I do that and figure out, okay, this thing hurts, how can I regress it?
Yeah.
Figure out an accessible way to do it and then progress it from there. It's working well. I'm getting more strength back in my quad. So things are coming together. I started to clean and jerk and snatch again. So, just take it step by step.
How disappointing was that injury for you?
It was frustrating. I mean, it did, like, it hurt really bad. I've never had an injury in weightlifting that was as acute as that, where I like literally felt like a pop. And then that was very unsettling. I knew I was gonna win. I mean, not to be cocky, but like
Yeah.
I was in such good shape, like not like lifting shape, because I actually had some swelling issues in that knee before that meet. But just in terms of like my position at the meet, like
Yeah.
I was ahead in the total. I was gonna make that third snatch, so I would have been way ahead. So basically, I would have just had to stay aligned with the second guy in the clean and jerk, because if
Yeah.
I'm ahead in the snatch, then I have the lead. And clean and jerks had gone really well that training cycle, so I was like super confident in those. So yeah, I would. It was gonna be a great day. It would have hurt a lot worse if I didn't get that snatch medal.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely frustrating, because I knew I could have taken home that meet, but
Yeah.
it is what it is. And then I had some swelling issues before, so we were like, let's just use it as an opportunity to get things like really, really right,
Yeah.
the following
Yeah.
year.
Dude, I mean, strength sports are such a tricky balance of work and recovery and figuring out the right approach to like keep yourself healthy while still building up. And then like also I was literally at a powerlifting meet coaching with a couple of my clients yesterday, and I was talking to another guy, and he was just like, yeah, I just keep getting the injury bug. And I'm like, man, it's the same thing. It's what humans have struggled with their whole like forever. It's greed and it's fear, right? And it's like when you get greedy is when you start to get like, you push a little too hard. And it's also hard because everybody's different mentally and has different physical capacities, but like so much of it is just that, right? So what are your we're gonna loop around on more of this stuff, but like what are your goals with weightlifting now? Because I mean, that would have potentially made you a national champion, right? In the U25s, right? Where do you go from here? What's next?
So to preface, I did
You are a
win
national
the
champion,
yes,
right?
I did
Yes.
win the year before.
Yes, exactly. I already knew that, but that would have been a two-time, right? So
That
yeah.
would have made me a two-time, which I really wanted to go into my Instagram bio and add that
Yeah.
2X. But
Yeah. Yeah.
it's tough. Like, I have a lot of different, adulting is tough in general.
Dude.
You know what I mean? I feel like it's just a whole different level.
Yeah.
And so, right now, I'm just working on getting back to snatch and clean and jerk, having fun with training, feeling good again. And then from there, like, I want to see how far I can go. You know what I mean? At a point, it's not as much. It's like, if I focus on external goals, it's just not as fun for me.
Yeah.
So if I just compete against myself, I'll get way better anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm not even paying attention to what the numbers are. I'm just going to, I know I have certain numbers in my head, like, man, if I could hit these, like, it would be really cool. So I just want to see how far I can go. And then training for me is also like a proving ground for, my own methodologies and also like an experimentation ground for things I want to try with athletes. So, there's also that, which is an additional amount of fun as well. So not really, thinking about like medals or, national meets at this point, although like I definitely like I want to get back there, but if I can just see how far I can go with it, I'll have a good time.
I think that's a very good I mean it's obviously worked for you generally, so I'm not I don't know like but I think it's a really good mindset to have. Comparison is such a tricky thing, right? Like it can be really powerful. I think it can be powerful to like spur us on if we're comparing ourselves to like, yeah, I can get there, right? But like it also can be like, man, people are so they can it also is like an it can be a thing that tears you down, right? And we're also in the age of comparison with everybody's highlight reel being on social media type of thing, right? So all right, like there's I have a bunch of just like general thought. Like your programming approach is a lot. It's not different. I mean it is different. It's like your own blend of a lot of like principles, right? But like where did you I'm like scrolling your Instagram as I'm like talking just to think about stuff. But like what have been your influences in the sport, and like how have you developed your approach? Like just like talk to me about how you think.
Well, so I was a power lifter first.
Yeah, because I was gonna say that. Because you have like you're an IPF world champ, right? Too, right? What class, what weight class were you in?
So I was an 83 kilo lifter,
Okay.
and I was under 18.
Okay.
And so basically, yeah, that was crazy. It was in Belarus. Like I ended up I'm trying to we gotta circle all the way back.
Yeah, how
So
old are you
basically,
now? How old are you now?
so now I'm almost 26.
Okay.
So basically I started powerlifting because I had some concussion issues from wrestling.
Okay.
And so I started like not even like powerlifting, but just like deadlifting and doing some squatting. I never benched. I didn't even know that you had to bench in powerlifting. I was like, I thought it was like track where you could choose like one of the events or like two of the events. So basically I started lifting, like actually lift. So like I was having trouble at the rec center I was at because deadlifting is like really loud and there's
Yeah.
no platform or anything. So like basically I was like, I need a new gym. So I started going to a gym called King's Gym, which has a super rich powerlifting history. Like they've been around forever. Two brothers own it, Ed and Frank King. And so they had a powerlifting squad there that kind of took me under their wing, and they were super conjugate influenced, right? We're in Cleveland, Ohio, like we're 2 hours from Columbus. There's guys that have been down to Louis' gym, to train. So we basically train like very conjugate-esque. We had chain, we didn't have bands at the time, but we had chains. We were switching up the exercises, doing different variations. And then I didn't really know much about programming then, so I just kind of followed what everybody else did. And it wasn't like,
Can I say, do you almost think that helps sometimes when you don't really like know a bunch, like you haven't seen every program under the sun? Like, 'cause it's just kind of just do this, right?
yes, because there's such a level of analysis paralysis when
Yes.
you know, like making choices, like I want to go to a grocery store that has one of each thing.
Dude, that's like my favorite thing. Do you have Aldi in Ohio? Like, Aldi is the best 'cause it's like,
Love
this is
Aldi.
all you have. Like, this is literally it. I'm like, thank you. I'm in and out of Aldi in 15 minutes or like 10 minutes most of the time, right? I'm
Literally.
100% there. Decision fatigue. I think that's like one of the things that I really try to emphasize with like people who it's clear. Sorry, I'm going on a rant here.
Are
It's
you?
clear that like life stress is affecting their body. It's like we gotta like figure out all these little ways to just manage your stress. And like decision fatigue is one of those things. Like I wear the same like five outfits every week. You know, it just makes it so much better, right?
Me
All right,
too.
I digress.
Exactly. 'Cause I look back at the time, like training for worlds, like we set up, we were basically training like a very periodized, traditionally periodized model, with a conjugate flair to it.
Yeah.
looking back on that time, like we were training so much to failure. Like the world's training cycle, like I look back on it at some point and I was like, we were just doing sets of seven. We were like, we're gonna do four sets of seven and we're gonna do as much weight as we possibly can for like 4 weeks. And then you know what I mean? And then we would just progress. So there was no like effort level RPE sort of, consideration. But man, we got better. Like we had a training squad. Like we were going hard. And then my goal when I went to Worlds was not just to win, but I wanted to learn how all the other coaches learn to program. And so I was just like, I would literally like ask all the other, like the national team coaches and everybody else who had an athlete there, like, how do you program? How do you learn? Like, I want to learn actually how this stuff works. And so then I just started reading like Science and Practice of Strength Training, like the classic Russian books. I just learned, that's basically how I learned the basics, was I read and I listened to podcasts. And then from there, I just kept progressing. And then basically after Worlds, what happened was I got to college. I was like, I want to try something different. And so I went to Emory University in Atlanta. I walked onto their track team and I started throwing the hammer.
That's awesome. Good for dude, good for you.
Thank you.
That's the
Thank
confidence that comes from wrestling.
you. Yeah, it is. I was like, I want to do something different. Maybe I'll go out for the track team. And they stuck me on the hammer, which was so technical. And then basically from there, we started doing the Olympic lifts and training. And I was like, oh, I like these. Like, these are really fun. I love training like a thrower. Like, even now, like, I look at how throwers train, and it's very heavily influences how I program for athletes because they're so strong, but they're so athletic and explosive at the same time. With both like heavy implements, like they with the squat, but also like they throw this 16-pound ball and they're extremely fast with that as well. And then from there, basically I got interested in the Olympic lifts. And then that's kind of how things got started with Olympic with weightlifting back in 2018. And then the rest is kind of history. And then from there, so basically I had a very traditional background of what Olympic weightlifting training was, what powerlifting training was, what conjugate training was, and then what traditional like linear periodization training was. Then what ha basically happened was I just went hard in power or hard in weightlifting for a few years, developed. I didn't know anything about tendonitis or like what, like, I just didn't know like tendonitis could turn into anything worse. And like weightlifting is a very like, it's a traditional sport. It's your knees hurt. Okay. It's weightlifting. Like, get over it, So basically I had some chronic knee pain that turned into quad tendon tears that got worse and worse. And so basically, I got MRIs on them at a point when like my quad would just start to like give out, like when I was squatting, like it was just stop working. And so I had bilateral quad tendon tears. So I got surgery on both of them and, had this year-long process where like I literally, had to relearn how to walk. I couldn't basically do anything. And so during that year, I was determined to just be on a crash course to one, analyze my own movement and then figure out how to rehab from these quad tendons. I would do the traditional physical therapy and I got out of physical therapy and I couldn't even do a bodyweight squat without pain still. So, from
Because I'm
there.
just gonna be I don't know who you're like, this is why I'm not in like a clinic, because it kind of we don't do a good job. Like we what a lot of the traditional physical therapy is built around is just like helping the average person just kind of get out of pain, right? And like and it sounds like cliche, but like it's not very hard to decrease workload and like just help somebody modulate pain. What's hard is like helping people who want to do hard shit, like manage their workload and recover, right? And keep moving. So yeah, dude, I'm with you. It's like a big motivator for me.
Yes. And no shade to my physical
No,
therapist.
that's the other
She was
thing. It's like,
awesome. But again, like, what's this goal of an insurance
Yes,
based
exactly. That's really
PT?
what it is.
Yes. And that's not even determined by the physical therapist. It's determined by the amount of physical therapy the insurance company will pay for, right? Which is they want to get you back to your activities of daily living, which is, can you cook and go grocery shopping and go to work? Not can you lift a ton of weight? in this sport.
Yeah.
And so that's where I started to get into like the isometrics, started to learn about tendon science. I think Keith Barr is his name,
Yeah.
does a lot of work on like on
Big.
tendon science. So I started to really learn like how the tendon works, how tendon injuries and dysfunction develops. And then that's where I got into like the extreme isos, training with isometrics, training at length. And so that's kind of where the rehab flair to my training comes from, was that year, that rehab process. And basically that's when I rehabbed from like, okay, I can't do a bodyweight squat without pain, to okay, I forget. So that had to be 2021. Now, then summer of 2023, 2 years later, I won the under 25 national championship. So that
Yeah.
2 year, you know, so then I figured out, all right, now we're cooking with gas. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there's, man, I think it's funny because there's, I really started to just reframe my approach, like to just this physical qualities type of mentality, right? And like, you know, what are we actually doing? You know, we're, you know, the things that humans like the physical qualities of a human are like, okay, strength, right? Which is like, it's neuromuscular, right? Endurance, you know, which we'll say maybe is muscular endurance, cardiovascular capacity, like tissue quality, like type of thing, right? Which is kind of one of those ones that what the hell does that mean? It's basically the tissues that you have are healthy and capable of doing the things you're trying to do, right? And then like speed and well, there's another, oh, mobility, flexibility, that type of stuff, right? Like when you really zoom out and look like that, look at it that way, you can often see holes in people's approach that is like, this is why you feel like shit. Because you're only doing these three things, right? And it's not to say that you need to do a ton of the other things, but like just for me, like my knees and my feet have never felt, they haven't felt bet as good in a long time. Like I'm 36. I have not felt this good since I was like 16 years old because I'm sprinting and I'm jumping and I'm not doing a shit ton of that stuff, but I'm doing enough of it that like that's kind of what those tissues are supposed to do. And people stop doing that type of stuff, right? And the isometrics, dude, a single isometric lunge hold for 3 minutes is like the hardest. It's like the most mentally freaking, it sucks, like, you know. And so there's also a shit ton of utility in that type of stuff, right?
Yes, absolutely. No, and that's, you know, when I felt my best was before 2023 Nationals. And legit, I mean, I'm confident to say like nobody going to that meet trained like I trained, because I was sprinting every single week. Okay, I was basically having a max out like 4 or 5 weeks before Nationals. But then I was rock climbing a ton.
Yeah.
At least, well, not a ton, like at least once per week I was bouldering. And
Yeah.
so like in that, I still try to think about what the benefit, like what, you try to narrow down like what exactly was that doing. I think I was just moving my body in diverse ways, and also getting a crap ton of grip strength, which made the bar feel light.
Yeah.
But like you said, right, you don't have to do a ton of everything, but if you have everything in there, you leave no stone unturned, you're going to feel a ton better.
Yeah, I also just think I just like I don't know if this is actually true, but like one of Mark to or yeah, Mike Teixeira wants to like try to figure out how to make like enjoyment a training metric that he can utilize, right? But like just when I go, we're gonna talk about the mental side because I that's almost the side that I like geek out on because I think I was kind of a mental midget for a long time and it's getting better, but. Well, it's more so like my initial conditions in the weight room were not good. Like I kind of shied away from everything and that stuck with me for a long time. I'm like 20 years later starting to be like, dude, just freaking push. Just it's okay. Like if you fail, it's okay. Like it doesn't matter, right? But I do like I try to play basketball or I try to play tennis on a weekly basis. And even though I go hard in those things, it makes my overarching week more enjoyable. And then I like, and it doesn't really affect my training that much in the whole, right? Yeah, you have to kind of manage yourself and notice, like, you know, I tore my meniscus on my right knee, and it's a little like if I'm doing a little too much, I start to get a little bit of feedback, right? But like that's also leveled up, you know, like it used to be like this level, and now I'm here, and you get a little bit of feedback. But that just That's the thing that people do when they get into like something like weightlifting or powerlifting. They're like, well, I can't do anything else. It's like, well, if you want to, like, let's figure out if it's gonna make you happy and enjoy this and you come back and push, why not? Right. And climbing probably lends itself pretty freaking well because climbing is also like a super mental activity, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a great aspect that you called out. It's fun. Like you're in the gym with your friends trying to figure things out. You're not like it takes away your overthinking brain, right? Like in
Yeah.
weightlifting, you're doing the same movement over and over again. You know, it can get stale. You can start to, you know, again, have some analysis by paralysis. Like climbing, you jump into a hold and you're 8 feet in the air, you know, you don't have time to think.
Yeah. I know you're not doing the Free Solo, but have you ever watched Free Solo?
Yeah, that movie made my hands sweat,
Dude, the
literally.
whole time. That dude's wild. No,
Yeah.
it's so good. And I know that like bouldering and like, you know, in gym climbing is different, but I also think like Alex Honnold is like is an amazing human being. I also like have read multiple times like how even that movie doesn't make it see, you know, it's insane. But then I've read stuff after the fact, like it's truly insane, like how hard that feat is, right? And how
Yes.
amazing that dude is, right? So, let's talk a little bit about like training for weightlifting and not to say the mistakes people make, but like what are the things when people work with you that you maybe are like, yeah, I don't know if that like, or because my approach too often is like, work up to something heavy, and then when the bars like clearly slows down, I keep trying to go heavier, right? Which is not, I think that in like the weightlifting, like that's not always the best approach depending on who you are and your constraints. But like, what are some of the things that you think maybe have helped you understand it, maybe better so than some people approach? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, that's a hard question. There's so many aspects to it. You know, I think something that's very neglected is the strength aspect. You know, if you can't deadlift a significant amount or like squat well, you know, then you as much as you might, you know, you can try to develop an understanding of the weightlifting positions, but like you need to be strong to be able to get into them. And so I think there's no limit to like there's no demarcation line. There's not like this line in the sa sand that says this part is strength and this part's technique, right?
Yeah.
Because it's specific strength. And so I think the most important thing is just developing that specific strength over time and, you know, encouraging patients to not kind of develop bad habits as a compensation factor or, you know, to kind of get around those specific strength deficits. And so I try to keep it simple. You know, I work the power position, I work above the knee, I work below the knee, I work from the floor. And if we can get an understanding of all those positions while we train the strength hard, then, you know, people will learn to snatch a clean jerk pretty well and not have to think too much.
Yeah, I don't know where I think it was maybe Sika Strength or whatever. They're like, there's like a gym in like in Europe somewhere where like every woman snatches like, you know, every woman just comes off the street and snatches like 80 kilos because it's just the norm, right? And it's like, damn, that's what it is. It's like the environment. And like I think you put out a post recently. More and more people like, because the strength technique thing has been a freaking age gone debate. It's like, well, they're the same, like there it's not you're like there's no demarcation. If your deadlift is 500 pounds, like you're going to snatch more, like you're going to clean more, even if, you know, after 2 weeks of maybe trying, than somebody
Yes.
who deadlifts 300, right? Like you're just that much stronger that you can apply your strength. And if you just most people just don't like to like learn the technical part. They don't like failing, right?
Yes.
They forgot like that they probably failed earlier when they were learning to deadlift, right? But yeah, and it's clear like everything you're saying makes sense when I like it's and like this doesn't take anything away from you like as a weightlifter, but like your strength prior to coming into weightlifting was freaking awesome, right? In a way that definitely helped you go in and be successful relatively fast and like which is like that's the power of getting strong, right?
Absolutely.
What do you I had a good question and then I lost it. So like international, you know, you kind of like you read I always I can never say is that Science and Practice. That's how do you say is this does a Torsky? Is it just a Torsky?
That is it that's Zatsiorski, I
Is
think
it
it is.
Zatsiorski or is it just a Torsky?
I
I've
don't
heard
know.
it that way, but anyway,
I've
like,
never actually heard it pronounced that way.
yeah, right? Nobody ever says it. They just reference that book, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But so that's obviously one of those in like the strength and conditioning world that like everybody says they read, even though I have it on my Kindle. And I've like definitely flipped through it, but I've never been like cover to cover type of thing. But what are your other like influences maybe in like from the world? Like obviously the Chinese know what the hell they're doing. The Chinese also have a different style than the Europeans, right? But like where have things or what have been things that have stood out for you?
In so like you're saying like in weightlifting training specifically.
Like the Chinese are obviously super freaking strong. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and they're really
Yes.
good, but like every one of those dudes is like obviously super strong, but like disproportionately like strong at like squatting and pulling, right? Often.
Yes. The Chinese are interesting. They're really strong. They move way differently than most people do in the US. I think just, technique wise, I mean, I used to really nerd out on like all things gym, hook grip videos. Like that's what got me started in weightlifting. I thought it was just so cool how they moved weight. But technique is an interesting concept because there's so like what we used to look at technique like, oh, like the Russians have the best technique or the Chinese have the best technique. When the sport has cleaned up in recent years, the US has really shot to a ton of success. And the thing that stands out to me is that no one on the US world team moves the exact same way. Like Chinese move very similarly to each other. Like Hampton Morris, right? He doesn't move at all like Olivia Reeves, and they're both Olympic medalists from the US. So I think if you teach athletes basic positions, right? And then you kind of look at some inefficiencies that they may have in their own movement, right? Not from the lens of this is right or wrong, but hey, this might be affecting you in this way. Like the bar loops off the floor, which I think might be affecting you down the line. Instead of like, hey, I want your lift to look like this guy. I think that is the model moving forward that will be more successful because the movement variability we have in the US across US weightlifting, right? Because we're not homogeneous in terms of
We're
where
super heterogeneous
we come from.
population, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So if you look at it that way, teach the basic positions, let the athletes athlete. And then, like, for example, I have a guy right now who I'm working with, and he's been on like a bunch of junior world teams, junior national teams, et cetera. But the bar loops off the floor. Now I could tell him, hey, do it like this guy, or stop, keep the bar closer or whatever. I just give him a pause snatch. I don't even say anything. I give the guy a pause snatch. And his snatches are so grooved and beautiful. It's insane, right? So if you kind of just, I view it like, you're going down a highway, right? And you have these guardrails on either side. You just kind of, say the car steers one direction. You're not gonna turn the wheel all the way, right? Because you'll skid out. The athlete will start overthinking. Just correct a tiny bit, and if you're within these two lines, right? There's a bunch of variation, between athlete to athlete. But if you stay between these two lines, and then you let the athletes do what they do, that'll create a lot of success.
I love that analogy, and I honestly think exercise variation is the ultimate teaching tool because intellectualizing it, like you're learning to move, right? Creating constraints. Unless, oh, so I, do you follow Will Retell? Like the,
I don't know. I know exactly. I've been through
he's like a super jacked football player,
Yeah.
like, and he's a pretty good Olympic lifter. He's a very good Olympic lifter. He's fucking strong and super capable, but like, his is like I just tell people don't do that like but I'm not telling him anything else to sometimes he's like it I think those things can work. He's like the other big thing is just like if what you're seeing you don't like, just like you said, if the bar loops away from you and you can your ability to like kind of compensate with speed or whatever, like but it's holding you back from like lifting your best, then just using a pause that forces you to try to stay in the right position is really powerful, right? And there's also just variability. It's like, I remember I went to like a Mike Bergner seminar a long time ago, and he's like, some people just do weird stuff. And you don't mess with it unless it really seems like it's effing with them, right? Or it's like
Yes.
you just, if it's, and that's one of the hardest things as a coach, because you learn stuff and then you're like, I want to implement this and I want to fix people a little bit. It's the same with being like a physical therapist. But then you're like, oh, no, you know what? That works. So just clap them on and until it becomes a problem, don't make it a problem type of thing, right?
Yes, I agree. I mean, and you think about it, like if, I wonder, oh, this athlete on the world stage does something really weird. I wonder if their coach had spent a bunch of time trying to fix it, would they still be where they're at? Like freak athletes have weird idiosyncrasies because that
Yes.
they're freak athletes. So,
Yeah.
it's definitely it's a game of balance. But again, going back to the constraints-led approach, right? I mean, however you want to look at it, that's Russian based. That's conjugate. So that's kind of full circle. Like that's all conjugate or Russian training is, we see some sort of weak point. Let's implement something to constrain you to tackle that limiting factor, bring it up, and then everything else comes up too.
It's also kind of fun that way, right? Because like the
Yes.
other thing, it's theoretically you could be like, all right, just drop the weight till you where you move well and keep it there, right? But like that, and that can work for some people, right? But doing like a slight variation, like this, okay, this is a good question that I've been pondering in my mind, right? Because I follow, do you follow like Brandon Accardi?
No, I don't know. I don't think I know who that is.
I'm gonna throw a bunch of names because I follow a lot of people, and because a lot, some of it is I want to keep getting cool people on this podcast. But like Brandon's Australian, and him and a guy named Zach Kongonis, they're very, and I think they lift at each other. Like I think Zach lifts at Brandon's gym, right? But they basically boiled it down to like their approach recently is just like maximizing power output, maximizing acceleration, right? Which is not that different from like what Louis was really trying to say most of the time, right? But like they kind of use kind of interesting, their approaches are often like, we might not change the program for 12 weeks, and we might not even change the weights on the bar very much for 12 weeks, because if we're trying to really improve somebody's ability to accelerate, like then F equals MA, you don't measure, or you don't change M, you change A as best you can, right? And like that's just so contrary to how I've thought about it, or how different, right? And like, and like to some extent, like for me and my own purposes, it's like, is there really that much of a difference between me doing like, three position high hang to above the knee to below the knee 1 week, and then the next week trying to do a similar variation and work up and try to make it speedy? It's like, is it that different for my purposes? Can it work, right? Or should I just be doing the same? Should I just be doing high hang snatches at, 70 or 60% of my best for 12 weeks type of thing, right? And I kind of boil it down. It's like, it's kind of whatever you believe is going to work and that you will push yourself on, and where you will manage fatigue. Because I think that's also what they're doing, is like, if your performance is dropping, your fatigue is going up too much type of thing, and we have to manage that. But like, I don't know if I said anything meaningful there, but what's your take on this type of stuff?
I agree with you. I think, there's such drastic diff like people train completely differently. Again, even in the US, even on the world team, you could say like Olivia Reeves, okay? I don't know everything about her training, but what I've heard is that she trained 3 days a week up until like a couple years ago. And now she trains 4 days a week, right? That's completely different from like somebody else who's going to train 6 days a week. So again, I think if you truly, the number one thing is you have to believe in what you're doing, right? If you believe in your training and you're training hard, then, and you're doing it in somewhat of a smart way, right?
Yeah,
You're gonna
it's
get
always
better.
that's the, always the caveat. Like, because I like to move a lot. It probably has held me back in the past. I wish I would have found like a mentor earlier and like trusted that. But like, because if you like to move a lot, like the gym is my anxiety coping mechanism, right? Like, I
Yes.
like to like go move my body, and that can be really good. And some people like, yeah, if Olivia only trained like 3 days a week and then four, it's like, it's probably, that's kind of the, what I have seen is for most people, 3 to 4 days of training a week is like a really good spot to be in, because you take 2 to 3 days of no training, or minimum, or just going and being generally active, and you don't beat yourself down with just, like trying to train more than you need to type of thing, right? You're 100% right. I'm with you. Like, it's wild.
Now that's the hard part. So he said some what's like a, some common errors, right, with people trying to start weightlifting. People want to train hard a lot of times per week. And so weightlifting is a sport where intentional directed training is more important than the quantity of your training. And so like a beginner, if you have these dysfunctions in your snatch or clean and jerk, right, it doesn't really help for you to train six times a week, right? Because you're just practicing doing it wrong. And so that, but then like you said, like the gym for a lot of people is like, I love the gym. The gym is my playground, right? Like I get all I want to do after a rough day is just go to the gym and move my body. And then I could get out of the gym and my house would be burning down. I'd be like, all right, it's fine. You know, I got my lift in, I feel good. So yeah, that it's a balance, right? You have to balance, you know, okay, maybe you could get by on 3 days a week, but at the same time, mentally, you know, you want to train 4 or 5. How do we kind of fit that in?
I think I just go always kind of go back to like, okay, you got really three overarching variables. You got volume, frequency, intensity. They can't all necessarily be high at the same time, right? So what are the ones that, like, if you're gonna train frequently, then it's probably, and you like to kind of train hard, then it's not gonna be the two things that are not gonna be hard are volume and frequency. You gotta just go volume and, or sorry, frequency, intensity a little bit, right? Or
Yes.
if you do like to just get a pump, then it can kind of be volume, but you got to be okay with like being in the 70-ish percent range for most of your stuff, right? And it's just tra it's a game of trade-offs, and humans suck at making trade-offs, right?
Yes.
So all right, let's talk about like the mental side of training and like, you know, being a wrestler. I do think like there's a level of grit there that I think is super powerful. I also think there's this level of like, dude, when you're going up against another human being in like, you know, hand-to-hand combat, you got to be pretty confident, right? Like and that's an exposure that a lot of people don't get it to. But like, how can like the everyday gym goer, like what are the things that you see that these are what people use, like there was one post you said like quiet your brain or quiet your mind, relax the brain for higher performance, right? Like, what do you mean by that? And then, like, what are the other mental characteristics that seem to really help?
I mean, oh my gosh, there's so much to get into here. I think the number one thing that has helped. It's hard. Like every sport requires a different level of arousal, right? Like powerlifting, you can be super hyped up. You know, wrestling, you know, you kind of fall into your level of arousal, right? Because like if you go out firing on all cylinders, you know, for your match and you're like super hyped up, you know, you're gonna gas out, right? So there's a level of pacing. Weightlifting, I think it's just a balance between trying, you know, like it's so technical, but at the same time, you have to move fluidly, right? There's a degree of relaxation that needs to take place. Like imagine you're throwing a ball, but you get super stiff, right? It's not, you're not gonna flow. And so I think things that have helped me with my mind and weightlifting, right? Because that level of arousal was definitely different to me, especially from years of powerlifting. Number one thing is probably meditation. Right. And not even like in the traditional sense, like, okay, you put a guy on and you listen to your breathing, but like even during training, like check in, like for example, the slow lowers are a great way like to meditate during training because like you're literally like feeling these sensations. If you can just like, if you can, you know, take the voice in your head, right, as not yourself, but just like feedback, you know, and then you just kind of, you know, listen, like almost like listen to your own thoughts and then like kind of try to look at them as a third party, you know, objective observer and be like, oh, like that was a weird thought, or oh, you know, I started to internally freak out. Why am I doing that? You know, oh, I'm gonna take a deep breath. All right, you know, oh, my hamstring is cramping up, you know, and just kind of like instead of judging the sensations or the thoughts that are going on, just observing them, I think that's a great like highway to the flow state, which by definition is basically you're performing an activity like and you're so in it, right? You're not purposely focused, but you're so engulfed in the activity that you forget, you're not even aware of your own existence. So, and that's the flow state is like, in my opinion, the most euphoric feeling you can get in your life because you're moving without thinking, you're doing without hesitation. You're in it.
The becoming the like so I didn't really understand like metacognition until like I went through on my own like dude, you said it earlier. Adulting is hard, and it really is. You kind of get into your like there's no when you're a kid there's kind of this path laid out for you, right? But when you get into like kind of late 20s, early 30s, you start to realize, oh, there's like no path anymore, or at least the paths that are like kind of perceptively open to me, like I don't necessarily want to go down, right? But like becoming the observer of my thoughts, realizing that, oh, like your thoughts just bubble up from your subconscious, right? Like they're literally, you're probably like, I just started reading Thinking in Systems. Have you ever heard of this book? Or
I've heard of it. I haven't read it though.
it's really good. It's basically like there, cause and effect is not actually cause and effect, right? It's like there's so many different things that bubble up, or that like go together to create a system. But like your thinking is you are not your thinking. You are the observer of your thoughts, and then hopefully you are the person that responds to your thoughts in a manner that is like beneficial, right? But like, man, I got like really low in 2020, and it makes sense. Like a lot of people got really low. Like, look at how life changed in 2020, right? And but it like you are 100%. I was like physically, man, I was like physically exhausted, and like, but I would go to the gym and I was like free in the gym. Like I would still be able to move. Like the gym helped me realize, like, cause I was basically like burnt out from work and from my rumination about like being super scared, right? And I was working with older folks in assisted living communities at the time because that was the job I had. And I love being a physical therapist, but sometimes those jobs, like, they're hard. I didn't know how to manage grief, right? But I would be like burn out. I'd be crying in the car, and then I'd go to the gym, and I'd go to the where we could actually like I could exercise, and I'd be like, oh, okay, so like I'm not jacked up. Like I don't feel good, but like I can move and I can be present in my body. And then realizing that, like, yeah, you're just the observer of it. And like that is the thing that people do with strength training, with lifting, with powerlifting, whatever. It's like you start to like just attach yourself to the bad session. And it's like, no, like that's gonna happen, right? And usually you have the like one of my clients that like she's a freaking amazing deadlifter. She loves to deadlift, but her demeanor during squat and bench is just like so much lower. And it's like I'm like, you're kind of hedging your bets here. Like, and we said this after her meet. I'm like, you're kind of hedging your bets with squat and bench. Like, if you have a good day, you're excited about it, but you're almost like setting yourself up to be like, if it's not that great, I don't care that much anyway. And it's like, I'm not saying that it's not anything against you. It's just how you're going approaching it, right? And once you change that, you're gonna blow up, right? Like people kind of they self-limit in ways they don't even see until they learn to become the observer of this stuff.
Yes. And that's the thing with weightlifting training that's tough is like it will expose you mentally. Like if you like you can't rely on a successful training session to make your day in Olympic weightlifting training because I've seen it. Like people have a bad day, they go in and then they're having a bad snatch day and then they literally just have like a mental like meltdown, right? And so that you have to be an observer, right? And you'll see people who are really good at it. I mean, like, and if they do a snatch and it was weird, right? Like something went wrong. Okay, somebody who needs more practice at being observer will be like, "Darn it!" Like, gosh, they'll like be angry. A person who's an observer will make a face like, "That was weird. Like, I don't know what happened there. Like, let's figure it out." So it's not like a personal like what happens in your snatch and your clean jerk or your performance is not a personal reflection. It's just, again, something that is not good. It's not even good or bad. You know what I mean? It's just something that needs figured out.
It's funny you said that because I just watched this video on before we hopped on. It's a sports psychologist who was like, Kobe Bryant, it was in his first year as a rookie, and he missed three shots to win a game. And he was sitting there, and he was like this, and he was like a little it, like he was clearly upset, but like he came over and started talking to the reporters, like, Kobe, how are you feeling about like, you looked really upset. How are you feeling? He's like, it's not anything about feeling. I was trying to figure out why I missed those shots. Like, and I just sat there and I kind of, and like, as I've just learned more and more about like Kobe's work process, right? And it's a little tricky because Kobe also, like, it's like the grind mindset a little bit. That can be a little hard. Like, you got to pull back from that. Like, the high level athletes who are like, you got to grind. Like, they also have the most ability to recover, and like their life is managed way better than the recreational athlete who's, you know, you got a job and three kids and you're trying to go to the gym 4 times a week, right? But that mentality of like, I'm just trying to figure out what I could do better, like that, and that's, and it's not a personal thing, right? Super powerful. So I appreciate that. That's like, all right. So this is kind of my last talking point, and then it's Sunday. I want you to go enjoy your Sunday, but I appreciate you coming on. I'm convinced that you can use progressive overload for anything. What do you mean by that?
So if you look at so I just think if you look at, for example, if you look at a slow lower, you look at an injury where, you have some rotator cuff tendonitis. What I mean by that is you can scale back anything, injury related, anything training related, even anything like you want to get better at, you're studying for tests, et cetera. If you scale up things back, right, which is basically load management, right? Scale things back to a manageable level, all right? And then you slowly increase as tolerated, that you can basically do that with any sort of exercise, any sort of activity, and your body will adapt.
Yeah, no, a graded exposure is like pretty much everything in life, right? We just don't like to, like people, this is kind of what I think is the bane of like the fitness world and the strength world. It's like, I came up, and it's not to say new exercises don't have utility, right? But like, I came up with this new exercise to, to work the glutes and the hamstrings and the quads. It's like, okay, well, like you could just freaking squat. You could just take some weight off the bar and squat, right? Like, and it's not bad. And like, but it's really just our desire for like novelty, right? It's a novelty bias. And I like biomechanics is super important, but biomechanics is just a component of load management, right? Like right now, I tweaked my groin last, at the beginning of the summer, sprinting, and I literally coming out of the hole has just been painful for a long time. And like muscular tweaks suck because they take a long time to recover from, right?
Yes.
And whereas like tendons suck because they just hurt for a long time, but it's usually because like there's a lag time before you get pain in a tendon, and then there's a lag time until that pain goes away, right? And like that's the thing that people don't like look at it like, because it's like, they're such a viscoelastic thing, and how they become innervated with like nerves is like you slowly like say, okay, we got something going on. And then for that to go away is also a long process, right? But it really kind of, it's, and that's the other tricky part is like, how much stimulus do I need, right? Did I get enough stimulus there, or was it not enough, right? And that's when you get somebody who's really strong. I see it all the time. You see people who get really strong, and once you've hit, I don't know if you agree with this, but I think it's kind of true. Once you get to like a certain level where, let's say you squat 600, 90% of 600 is 540 pounds, right? Whereas like 90% of 315 is like 270-ish, right? Like, even though it's still 90%, I still think 540 pounds is like a little bit more of a stimulus than 90% at 315 was. And people get really stuck in like the perfect percentage type of thing, right? I don't know if, would you agree with that?
Yes. So that's a big misconception is that as a person progresses throughout their career, they need more volume. And I
Yes.
disagree. I think as a person progresses throughout the career, whatever the sport is, if you are more efficient at producing force,
Yes.
that's going to fatigue your CNS more, right? That's going to create more load on your body that you need to recover from. So you need
Yeah.
less volume. Like me, like I need way less volume and way less frequency. I like when I peak for a weightlifting meet, all right, I take 3 straight days off,
Yeah.
literally. No one does it, but I hit my last session. It's like 80 to 85%. And then I take three, I literally don't do, I mean, I walk around, but
Yeah.
I don't touch a barbell for three, well, the day before, sometimes I touch a barbell if I had a flight, but like, I don't do any real lifting for 3 days in a row in a technical sport. people don't think outside the box like that. But like if you look at what was his name? He was a really what was his name? Zalesny, jab thrower. He would take his last throw 10 days out, right? That's a really because the load on his body when he threw was so great. So I completely agree with you that as an athlete progresses, the percentages like they don't really work out. Like 90% for a high level lifter is way different than 90% for a beginner lifter.
And it's like that's like one of those it's one of those things that like because percentages are an awesome tool, right? But like you're 100% right. You're like as you your ability to produce force and your technical proficiency, just like all of it comes together. It's like you're recruiting. I just keep going back to this more and more. It's like you're just recruiting more and more muscular, like more and more motor units, more and more muscle that like, when you're just like learning this stuff, you're not actually recruiting 90%, right? Like you're just kind of you're tapping into like there's more there. And that's kind of been my biggest revelation. And I tell a lot of like the lifters that I work with who just aren't confident. I'm like, you can't tell me that this thing can't activate more motor units to like lift 10 more pounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's in here for a lot of it until like you really get to this level where it's like we're really starting to get on the fringes of your capacity, right? So which is really cool in my brain. I think that's probably helped me a lot too. Man, this has been awesome. I appreciate you coming on a ton. I definitely want to bring you back on and we'll just riff more and more about stuff. It's almost like this first out. The Joe Rogan podcast, Joe Rogan, you can say whatever you want, but talking to people for 3 hours is an awesome thing because it's like usually the first 45 minutes, you're just kind of feeling somebody out. But, dude, I appreciate your content. I appreciate, you seem like a super kind dude. So I appreciate that too.
Appreciate
Keep
it, man.
hammering, man. Where can people find you?
Champion Matthew Jones on Instagram.
Love
I
it.
also have my website, MatthewJonesPerformance.com, if you want to find out more about coaching. But yeah, reach out on Instagram. Check out my website. If you have any questions, my DMs are open. I appreciate you having me on, man.
Dude, I will link those in the show notes. And man, thanks for coming on. Have a happy Sunday. Go enjoy it.
You too, man. Talk to you
Peace.
soon.